Okay.
Oh, that
Great.
all
I'm happy.
that wasn't recorded. That's good.
Yeah. Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, so we're ready to roll. Welcome everyone to the April 5th community engagement meeting here, committee meeting. My name is Richard. I'm a council co-chair, and I'll be chairing this meeting today. I'm also a community engagement co-chair. So we can start with introductions. Like I said, my name is Richard. I can pass to I'll poke him out. Kira.
Hi everyone, Kira, council staff.
Hi, Crown.
Hey everyone, Crown, council staff.
Mark,
council staff.
Hi, Mark. Steven.
Steven Spano, the HCAP staff attorney at the AIDS Legal Referral Panel.
Welcome, Steven. Maria.
Sorry about that. Maria Lacayo with HIV Health Services.
Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Lee.
Lee Jewell, council member.
Hi, Lee. Laura.
Laura Thomas, council member.
Welcome, Laura. So I think that's everyone. If we wanted to throw up today's agenda, we can review and approve. Looks pretty straightforward. Does anyone have anything to add or would like to discuss? Okay, I think that's an approval. Thank you, everyone. How about the last month's March 8th draft minutes? You can look those over quickly. And everyone okay? All righty. That's approved. Do we have any announcements today?
This is Jewel. I have one announcement to let everybody know that it's Steven Spano's birthday on Monday.
Hey, happy early birthday. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you. I also have an announcement.
How come you're privy to such information?
I never kiss and tell.
Okay. Oh, I think you just did.
Yeah. Steven, you have something?
I'm sorry. I will have to take off after I provide my report this week. I'm doing my annual reporting and I'm very bogged down in it as well as some client matters right now.
Thank you, Steven. Any other announcements? Okay. Is there any public comment? I don't see any. No. Okay, so moving right along. Speaking of which, Stephen, HCAP report. Are you ready?
Certainly.
Thank you.
So in reviewing the report, I was kind of looking through and I realized that I try when I can to highlight some of the successes because I think it gives us a good model of where we can advocate when we know what is working. So I was doing that and I realized that at least one of the cases that I recently closed that I would love to highlight as a success is not on here. Unfortunately, I think that is because of I blame Salesforce. We are still working through it. It is a transitional year for us and we just recently moved all of our data to Salesforce and some of the reports have not been built to the specs. So I apologize for that, but I would love to report it verbally because I think it is helpful. Obviously, I think it's important to highlight some of the challenges that we're seeing. You'll see some of them have rolled over. I still am trying to link one client who you will see on on page, on the second page. This is a client who has a significant level of disability, but they're on their acuity scale. They lack a clear diagnosis that would make them eligible for intensive care or intensive case management. This is a client that could certainly benefit from one-on-one support. And I know that that is an effort that we're making in this year's budget asks. Whether or not that will come to fruition, I don't know, but I still think it is something that the HIV services, system of care really should be addressing, because I see it being an increasing need as people continue to age, take on some more cognitive issues and health complications. But I would really like to focus on two successes. The first is the first one that's on there. This case is not yet closed, but I do have a client that's supposed to be signing a lease this week. We've moved into a facility that I think is, a building that I think is a much better fit for them. And I'm really excited for this client. I think it's a huge change in their lifestyle. And I think they'll be a lot happier in their new building, but it has been a very, very long process to get this person moved into the building that we're moving them to. So I'm happy to report that, although it is not quite closed, I think it will be next by the end of the week. There is another one. This is a client, and this is the one that's not on the report, on the written report. But there's a client that was at a hospice facility, they were there for a transitional period, and it was kind of as a result of the shakeups that happened last year when we changed our system of residential care facilities for the chronically ill, or RCFCIs. They kind of got caught in that mix and wound up at this facility for a transitional period. And then it became unclear how long they were going to be able to stay there. And it was resulting in a lot of housing insecurity for the client, because there was nowhere else for them to move independently. This client is capable of moving independently, but they have some significant mobility issues. And so looking for an ADA compliant unit was the real barrier for this person. We finally did locate an ADA compliant unit for this client. We matched them with a subsidy. And I've been in communication with their interior care team to make sure that they have all the appropriate supports, including food services, physical and mental health support services, as well as all of the modifications to the unit to make it safe for them to live in. There is one challenge that I think is worth highlighting. That is, one of the situations we wound up trying to resolve, that we are still trying to resolve, is there's a period of time where the client can be in both facilities. And thankfully, the transitional facility is willing to keep them there for as long as it takes to make the new unit safe for the client. But in order to get an assessment of the client's ability to maneuver in the new unit, we have not been able to identify a provider that will go in and do a preliminary assessment to say, oh, this is what the client needs. This is where we should put a grab bar. This is right. And so again, we're in this situation where we're asking the client to put themselves in a potentially unsafe environment before we are providing them support. And that tends to be a recurring issue for that I'm seeing, where we're requiring people to kind of, rather than setting them up for success, we're requiring people to fail or put themselves in danger or just simply make them uncomfortable until we can get them what they need to avoid that. And knowing that prevention is the most economical way to manage a lot of folks' disabilities, I just find it to be counterproductive. So I'll leave that on the table and I'll ask if there's any questions.
Yeah, Stephen, I like how you mentioned that, there are successes sometimes. There's always something behind these. There's, you know, things still aren't set in stone, so to speak, you mentioned. But there are some things, and that's due to a lot of hard work on folks like yourself and others on their team. So thanks for highlighting that.
Well, and I think it's important to highlight them so that we know when we're advocating what we can advocate for that we already know works. We know that people can live independently and they can live healthy lives when they have adequate housing, an adequate subsidy, and appropriate supports. When we have those three things in place, we can really support folks, you know, and set them up for success. And so, you know, I think it's really important to show when we do that, because it is unfortunately rare to get all three of those things in place at the same time. But that, you know, that's the model and it's what we should strive for in every instance. So I do like to point out when it appears.
Stephen, what did you say at the beginning when you started? I kind of missed it when you said about funding that you know is something that you're advocating for. Can you?
So in this year's budget proposals that have been put forth by the HIV Advocacy Network and the HIV AIDS Provider Network, in kind of advocating with the mayor's budget, one of the items that we're asking for is $500,000 for intensive case management services. It is a much smaller ask than some of the other asks that we have in there, but I do think it is really important, and I've said this in a couple of different forums at this point, that we acknowledge that housing and help are two very different needs. When people are asking for help and that's all they need to stay where it is that they're living, we will be wasting our housing dollars that we're throwing at them if we don't provide what it is that they need. And sometimes it's very little. Sometimes it just requires somebody checking in on them frequently, sometimes less frequently, sometimes a little bit more frequently, somebody that's familiar with their individual disabilities, that understands the nonlinear process that is, you know, caring for oneself. And so, sometimes that very little help can keep a client stabilized so that they're not facing repeat evictions or not placing their housing in jeopardy and putting them back at the very beginning, where we're then asking them to show up at, you know, coordinated entry again 10 years later or 5 years later. The ask is for intensive case management, and I think it's for $500,000. My vision for that would be, you know, to fund a crew of, you know, four full-time ICM people who can take on a caseload and be a hub for the various services. You know, San Francisco has a very robust HIV service network. It is very complicated compared to some other eligible metropolitan areas. Boston, for example, if you go in, this is what I've heard. I've never received services there, but my understanding is you go in and all of these services are connected. Marin follows a similar model where all of the housing, mental health, physical health services within the public system are all kind of linked. It makes it easy for a client to go in, say what they need, and go right to the person or the department that they need. San Francisco is not set up like that. Our money has been divided up amongst many different service providers, all of whom want to support, but oftentimes are very disconnected from one another. And so it helps to have someone, you know, apart from me, that can understand the puzzle that it is and try to put those pieces together for a client when they might be facing some very acute mental illness or substance use issues or physical illness. Did I answer your question, Maria?
Sorry, I'm still getting used to Zoom. Yes, you did. Thank you. And I did note that I remember you brought it up last time too, and I meant to follow up because you also had mentioned, I don't know if it was Institute on Aging that you said had a good model on intensive case management.
I did mention the Institute on Aging. Their specific program is called the Community Living Fund. The issue with the Community Living Fund is that they prioritize folks who have been exited from skilled nursing facilities or other medical facilities. And it can be very difficult to do that intake. I've sat in on one intake with a client who definitely would have qualified. They had multiple ADLs where, you know, they would have qualified for. And that is an ICM program, and they can help find other resources if it's a mobility chair, if it's a thing, right? Sometimes the barrier is the client doing that intake. So my perspective is that we should have somebody, you know, other than the medical case managers who are, you know, really overburdened, you know, with a lot of stuff, who can link the client to those things in a warm handoff manner, right? Rather than provide them the phone number for DOS and say, good luck, right? There should be somebody that's working with that client until they have the further support that they need. And where CLF is unable to provide that support, there should be somebody else in the HIV network that does that. At least that's my perspective. That's what I'm advocating hard for.
Any other questions for Stephen? Comments? Thanks a lot, Stephen.
For sure. Thank you all. And I'm going to have to go, but I look forward to seeing you all soon.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Hey. Lee, I will not forgive you. Take care, y'all. Thank you.
Okay, so next up on the agenda is the, we'll review the needs assessment draft presentation with updated recommendations.
Awesome, so I'll go ahead and share my screen really quickly and go over that. Can everyone see this? I can't see you all, okay.
Yes.
Yes. Perfect.
All right, so I'll just go through this a little quickly because this is information that was essentially shared in our last month's meeting. So I won't go too much into detail, but please let me know if you want me to stop at any point to ask questions or for clarification. So this is just the background information regarding where our needs assessment took place because this was a continuation from 2022. And then this is just kind of the overall overview of what we'll be talking about throughout the presentation. So demographic data, our findings, recommendations, and any questions at the very end. And then this is just what I showed last time, which was some data with the graphs up there. And so I have four in total currently. And I did replace one with this question. So this is a new one. But pretty self-explanatory. And then this goes into our findings when we were discussing service categories. And so one of the big ones is primary medical care. And then quotes that came out of that conversation. Then we have housing that was also discussed and mental health services, which was another talked about topic. And then more quotes that came out of that. And then this was the findings for the interview slash discussion portion, as well as some more quotes. And then just some conclusions about those discussions that happened. So those main points and takeaways that we want to leave everyone thinking about, as well as the end, which is the recommendations. So these did change a little bit. The first one being
Kieran, before you go over the recommendations, can you actually go back to the prior slide? I think I might've missed that one when I took a look at it the first time around.
So this just talks about psychosocial support services, which maintain their importance, as well as the challenges that a lot of participants spoke to in terms of the referral system and how user-friendly it really wasn't. And just the overwhelming feeling of getting so many referrals and not being able to manage them. Then something else was clients really praising Teladoc because it was able to help maintain their engagement with medical care since they were able to not have to worry about traveling to their appointments.
Yeah.
And so moving on. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
No, yeah, thanks. I have nothing to add. Those all make sense to me.
And then these are the recommendations. So the first one we have is the Trans-Pacific Cultural Competency Trainings that are needed for service providers. Then we have a Center of Excellence-based wraparound one-stop-shop service provision that would better help support trans individuals. And then our final recommendation is targeted recruitment of trans service providers to better reflect the community being served. And that takes us to the end. So I'll go ahead and stop sharing.
I wonder if you could keep it on the recommendation slide, actually, just to see what folks feel about those three recommendations.
Yeah, of course. Let me go back to that.
So clearly, you know, the recommendations are a combination of like pie in the sky, which would not be able to accomplish unless we had more funding, to something that's pretty doable, you know, like cultural competency trainings and something that HHS, like Maria, can bring that back to HHS as far as more, you know, where some CQI dollars can go, to the sort of the perpetual like call to recruit people from the, you know, the community. So what do folks think about those three? Those work for you all?
Hi, Mark. So I did want to say that I asked Bill about the trainings, you know, that you brought up from last time as well. And he mentioned that, I guess in the past, we were able to use Ryan White dollars to host the trainings that used to be, you know, in person. I think Kevin and John Ainsley used to put on, but I guess now we are no longer able to use Ryan White dollars for that, he mentioned. So
really,
yeah, that's what Bill told me, so I can go back and confirm that with him. But he said he did mention the AETC trainings, that I guess that's like a training center, that does offer trainings that people can join. I asked to look at the current calendar of trainings, and it looks like earlier in the year there was one that was specific on transgender needs, but I don't know, like, do they restart them again at a certain time or something? So I can find out more information, but there is like a calendar of trainings that they offer.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them is that, but I did notice, let me check my email, that the one that, you know, would be specific to this already passed. So
future. Mm-hmm. I would like to talk to Bill about this, because this is quite a new development if Ryan White dollars cannot be used to train up and deliver like best practices to Ryan White service providers. Since it's basically every single year we've been able to do this, and I haven't seen guidance that tells us that we haven't. So I'll put a pin in that. So maybe discuss more with Bill when I meet with him directly, because that's very strange.
Yeah, I'm going to meet with him tomorrow and I'll bring it up again, because that's what, you know, it seems like they were able to do them before and they would have them every so often. But that's, I'm not sure if that happened, like you said, when that happened, but if that's what he understood what I said, because I did tell him basically the need for the trainings and if we were able to host them. And that's what he mentioned. But yeah, they have a training that AETC that says one of them was trans health community of practice, implicit bias and case discussion, but that already happened on March 15th, I guess. So I can find out if they have more, and then I'll also confirm with Bill that, you know, he was understanding my question correctly, that Ryan White does not to be used. I think Laura had, and there's a few people that have their hand raised.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
so as part of the new HIV prevention health access points, the San Francisco Community Health Center was given a contract to do technical assistance in capacity building around trans and gender diverse healthcare. So any of the organizations that are part of the health access points contracts and subcontracts, which is a lot of our Ryan White providers, should be able to access that. And it may be that SFCHC will be able to extend their technical assistance to other non-HAP organizations. So that might be worth out as well, since they are have a lot of expertise on trans health and are being funded by the department, even though it's not through the Ryan White side of things to do this. And then the other, the Transgender Center of Excellence at UCSF, mm-hmm. not to be confused with our Center of Excellences. Yep. It's Centers of Excellence. Totally same phrase, different thing, but they also do trainings as well.
Yeah,
as
I thought so. Yeah. Richard?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Kira and everyone that did the work on this. What I keep seeing throughout this is, you know, stigma and judgment. And what I'm hearing from their statements is, you know, like doctors aren't familiar with their issues or really don't care. They don't feel like they're heard. So I'm seeing that here, like just these phrases, better support, better reflect, competency trainings. It sounds like the trans community is not being heard. They don't feel like they're being heard. And I just heard that throughout the needs assessment feedback. So yeah, I think all three of these recommendations are on point. Some more peer-based services are needed too. Yeah, just more support for this community. So they feel heard, just like the early part of, I would guess, the early part of the AIDS epidemic where doctors either didn't care, they were part of the stigma, or were uninformed with that community, that was happening. And now we see that with the trans community, and they're asking for a little more care and some cultural competency.
Does Laura still have her hand up for another comment? No. Kira, can you keep this on the agenda? Because, you know, I think there's a lot of future work that will need to happen. You know, in the past, when there has been recommendations around training, it's been very easy to just move that over to Kevin and John to sort of like make sure that happens. I mean, there's no recommendation here for specific funding that could be used like to help when we have to do carry forward, which I'm not sure I saw anything in the report that would lead to something that's like an easily packaged time. I guess, what is the word I'm looking for? Something that can be spent down within the particular amount of time that carry forward has to be spent down. So I don't really see anything in there. So we don't really have anything for carry forward when I assume Maria or Beth or John brings that to us. It'll basically just be like HHS maybe coming up with ideas about how to spend carry forward rather than coming from this needs assessment, which is fine. But I think it's important that we follow up though with at least like the most doable of these three recommendations, and that's the training. And that's literally where people are going to be getting the most touch from service providers. You know, we can have pie in the sky like Center of Excellence, but we need money for that, you know. And we can always recommend like try to hire from the community, but that's not like we have nothing to do with an agency's hiring practices, right? But what we do have to do with is anyone, any agency, any service category that is funded by Ryan White does need to adhere to best practices established by this council. And so that means that if there needs to be some partnership with HHS about mandating trans trainings via maybe the options from Laura, or maybe, fingers crossed, Bill has that wrong, or maybe the use of general funds. I don't know, or honestly care like where, how it happens. It just has to happen. So if you can keep that as an ongoing agenda item so that this, and this will be the group that's actually charged to, I mean, actually maybe even collaboration with Council Affairs, you know, which does connect with service providers in making sure these trainings actually